Because I feel like I give a lot. And then, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? But I think it's really important to give, because you can't expect to get until you invest upfront.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Yeah.
So just ask me who I am then.
Z.
Right.
Z.
Right. Z. I'm Z Holly.
Z, who are you?
Who am I? I'm Z Holly, and I am the founder and the chief instigator of the Make It in LA initiative for LA Mayor Garcetti. And I also host a podcast called The Art of Manufacturing.
Z, what does Make It in LA do, and how in the world were you able to partner with the mayor of Los Angeles?
Well, it actually came from the mayor's office from when I was entrepreneur in residence. So I've actually spent a lot of time as a serial tech entrepreneur and also in creating innovation ecosystems around universities. And so that's why, and one, of course, one of them was in LA. And so when the mayor was interested in this idea he came up with, entrepreneur in residence, he and his team reached out to me and asked me for my thoughts on how this program might work. And so that's how that started. And it was through that program that I decided that I wanted to focus on an area that was underserved, so manufacturing, and just see if there was an opportunity to connect the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And as a result of that, we did a big study, and it became very clear that there's this big opportunity. And so that's how we decided to launch this Make It in LA initiative.
What's your background in tech?
So I started my first company out of grad school at MIT. It was started as a hardware company, and then we pivoted later, became a software company. And I was involved as a key participant in several tech startups over the course of about a decade, both in Boston and in the Bay Area.
When was it that you first became exposed to the tech world?
Well, I have always been really excited by science and math, et cetera, and that's how I ended up at MIT. And it was funny because when I was at MIT, starting my first company with my partners, and it was hard, and it wasn't necessarily the most popular route, believe it or not. I mean, this was a long time ago. This was in the early 90s, and I used to think, wow, I wish that tech entrepreneurs had the same status as rock stars and athletes.
And now they do.
Oh my God, be careful of what you ask for. I don't think it's necessarily the best thing for tech.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Like the revenge of the nerds was like the steeze
of the
time.
Well, it becomes, because we were, you know, being in tech at that time, it was very much, you know, you do it on your own. You feel, you do it because you had an idea that just had to get out.
I get it.
You know, people didn't do it just because they wanted to be an entrepreneur.
No, I actually completely resonate with that. When I built my second company, it wasn't like a thing to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I just loved action sports and I loved technology because of my father. And I wanted to merge the two worlds together. And it was this exciting time. I mean, I don't want to put anyone down out there, but I will say it's hard. It's crazy hard to be an entrepreneur. So if you don't really love it, just like, don't.
It's not. Yeah. Why? Why would you do it? It's sort of like, it's not a choice that you should make one.
No, it keeps choosing me and I keep telling it to go away. Z, what would you say your calling is?
Oh, well, you know, now if I look back on my career and, you know, I think that there's this arc that has been finding undiscovered talent and ideas and helping them make an impact, really. And I see that going forward as well. Everything from, you know, after I had spent about a decade in tech, I started this innovation center at MIT called the Deshpande Center, helped faculty start businesses, and also at USC as well, you know, helps dozens of venture-backed startups form, and then also starting, you know, creating the first ever TEDx and helping craft dozens and dozens of talks, you know, and helping faculty and academics and other people that wouldn't necessarily have an opportunity to have that stage, and helping them tell that story. And now their videos of their talks have gotten like 12 million views online. And so now I'm really focusing that in the area of manufacturing entrepreneurship, because I feel like it's an underserved and not quite as loved part. You know, it's a really important part of our economy.
Who was your mentor in getting where you are today?
I am so fortunate to have had some really amazing mentors. And I would say that, you know, I mean, both my parents have been an incredible influence on my life, obviously, but because they were refugees from Hungary and they escaped, have some amazing stories about their, you know, there was a revolution happening in 56, and just the whole idea of leaving behind their homeland, not speaking the language, not knowing when you're ever going to go back to your family, that whole kind of being super resourceful, not having a penny in your pocket. Actually, in my mother's case, her father was a very well-respected astronomer. So it was a different situation than my dad, who went basically by himself with his brother. So that made a huge impact on me. But then over time, I'd say that one of my mentors in college was Woody Flowers. He was one of the founders of FIRST Robotics, and he was one of my professors and has just been an amazing influence on my life. And, you know, since then I've had folks like Bob Metcalf, who was the founder of 3Com and inventor of the Ethernet, and he's been on my advisory board. Also, John Seely Brown, who was the chief scientist at Xerox PARC, and Warren Bennis. Oh, my God. He's like the godfather of, you know, like leadership guru. Just really amazing
this
people.
This is so amazing.
So, and I think when you think about today, I think the word mentor is thrown around way too easily. When I started the program at MIT, I created this program called the Catalyst Program, because I felt like the venture capitalists, the entrepreneurs, et cetera, I want to match with the faculty,
right?
They were like what you would call a mentor today, right? But I thought that they're really more catalysts, because they helped spark and help move these ideas forward. But mentor is a much deeper thing. Mentor means somebody who's willing to stick their neck out for you, somebody who's willing to make introductions and stand by you and say, this is somebody that is worth meeting with or, you know, investing in. And so those are the people that are really meaningful, and I'd really wish that people didn't throw around the word mentor.
No, it's so true. I remember one of my mentors, Nicola. I was raising money. It was a really weird day because I did raise money that day, but they didn't give me as much as they were going to because of a specific reason in my company. So I was sitting in the parking lot crying, which was a weird sadness because I did just raise money, but not what we had planned for. And I called Nicola, and she sat on the phone with me for an hour or five as I just cried for a long time.
That's
I'm
funny.
Sure she had way more important things to do.
When we sold our first company, I remember that day. It was crazy. We, I had to have the new, you know, account set up, and we've been working on the audit. I mean, just the whole process of selling a company takes forever. But somehow that one day I was sitting there, and I didn't believe that the money had actually been transferred until I called the bank. I'm like, is it there? I said, yes, it's there. And, you know, this woman has no idea why all of a sudden there's like millions of dollars in the bank. Like, what kind of operation is she running? And I hung up the phone, and I started crying. It was just this bizarre emotional release.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, no, totally. It was. It's amazing. How do you overcome challenges?
You know, for me, it's very powerful for me to have collaborators. Not everybody's like that, but for me, I feel like it's really important to have partners and collaborators. And I remember the very first startup, we had three partners. And at the time, I read this study that said that the chances of success of a startup is directly correlated with the number of people, number of founders, up to five. After that, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. But it's definitely true where I find that when one of you is really down and you're like, oh, God, I just hit this, you know, stumbling block, the other one's like, no, come on, let's keep going, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm an extrovert, and so it's very much through working with other people, whether it's partners or friends that understand the industry. So not just, you know, friends that, you know, but people who really get what I'm going through. And I had this change of heart in the last year where I used to think that when you're cheerleading just for the sake of cheerleading. Like when somebody who doesn't know you says, you could do it, I think it's just the most hollowest, so annoying thing. But then, you know what? I realized I went on this trip where there are people like that, where it actually helped me start my latest initiative, the nonprofit that I've launched. And just having, it's like a placebo, but having people cheer you on, even if they don't really know you, and don't really it's so powerful. And it's so important. That's why it's so important to have those, whether it's mentors or partners and, you know, really positive influences in your life. People who believe in you.
100%. Sometimes people say, like, what's one thing I would tell a new founder? And I always say, before anything else, know you're like three people you could count on during both good times and bad, because like the one thing you just have to have as your lifeline is your support group.
Well, you know what's funny is it's not just people who cheer you on, but it's also people who are willing to tell you the truth.
Hell yes.
And they're not always, you know, it's a rare person that knows how to do both, but at the right time.
Yeah.
There's times when you don't want to hear that it sucks. I mean, I actually love, I'm the kind of person who deconstructs everything, and the more I deconstruct and criticize something, the more it means I care about it. But sometimes it takes my collaborators time to realize that
totally.
That's the case. No, it's because I love you.
Was there ever a point you recognized you were on a track that you were like, wait, no, I don't want this direction. This is not where I meant I want to go. And you totally pivoted into a new direction.
I mean, I'm thinking more recently, I left USC to take some time off and take a bit of a sabbatical. And I gave myself a really good amount of time to do that. It was my second sabbatical since it was the first time in like 17 years since my first startup. We sold our first startup. I didn't do well the first sabbatical, let me tell you. I was like really antsy after 6 months. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to give myself a few years, you know, like time.
Yeah.
So, and I was dabbling in the area of consulting, and I still do consulting, but I decided that I didn't want to be a consultant first and foremost, because I felt like I like to create new things, and I like to, no matter what I do, it has to be something that nobody's done before. So I think that that's something that I realized was just, it was my mission and my purpose was to create and grow new things.
You know, there's something I really want to touch on that I don't ask many people, but I think it's important. You mentioned that you got antsy after 6 months and you wanted to give yourself more time. You know, a lot of people have this illusion of what success is, and especially in the startup world, they usually envision success being like boatloads of money in an IPO or something like that. Since you've had the privilege and the life experience of having a company acquired, how do you define success?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that this is a complex subject, let me tell you. But I remember, you know, it's so easy to look at huge names, you know, whether it's Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or whoever, and say, oh, like, who am I? Chop liver, you know, compared to that. And I think that we all get into that kind of, when we're very driven people, we get sort of wrapped up in that. And, but then I have to remind myself, I mean, I don't really compare myself to them often at all.
But, I mean, I compare you to them, like, all the time.
No, I mean, it's not something that even I would even, whatever. But you know what I mean? So I think that, but often to look at people around you that are making a lot of money or success in business from that perspective. And then I think about the kinds of things I have been able to do in my life. So some people have a bucket list. I don't believe in bucket lists. I actually have a charm list.
Ooh, so, what's that?
Okay, so bucket list is what...
Now I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, so bucket lists are things that you want to do. And I feel very strongly that if you try too hard for a particular outcome and you're too attached to that outcome, you're going to miss 10 other amazing things that you would have never even imagined. And for me, what can't be imagined is so much more interesting than what you can imagine, right?
Fantasies can't be planned.
Yeah. So I have a charm list of things that I have done that are really cool and really interesting. And I mean, I keep it on my iPhone and part of it's just a reminder of how blessed I am to have such amazing, you know.
That's cool.
And so it's a lot of these things are things that money can't buy. There was a time actually when I was it's a complex thing to explain, but it was a particular situation where I was rebuffed by a group of people because I was not financially successful enough.
Yeah.
And And I was really, really sad and hurt by that until, first of all, a friend of mine, colleague of mine, was like, why would you even actually want to associate with them anyway, first of all?
Yeah.
Second of all, the next day, so weird, I get this invitation to this reception with the, I think it's the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, you know, the prince and princess, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this is something that none of those people could actually pay for. And I went, it was like 120 people with, you know, it was this amazingly intimate reception. And I thought, that's not because I'm financially successful, you know, it's because
you are successful.
Or, yeah. And so.
No, it's because you are like who your spirit, like who you are as a person is successful.
Yes. And it's different from how most people. People are very misguided when they measure success based on finances. And I think it's because it's the only way, it's like a substitute, really. If you feel fulfilled and have amazing experiences and amazing people and family and mm-hmm. you know, around you, what more do you need?
Melissa Hanna, founder of Mommy, reminded me the other day that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, past like $60,000 a year or something like that, like we don't actually get any happier.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, you know, it might be a little bit higher in LA.
depends on the city.
But
yeah.
But it's interesting. It's interesting nonetheless.
Totally.
What's the best lesson you've learned about yourself in pursuing your dreams?
You do need to focus on what makes you feel fulfilled and also what you're good at. And I don't enjoy maintaining things. You know, I enjoy starting and growing things. And I remember when I left MIT, it was my choice that I was recruited by USC. But MIT was the most amazing place. It was such a hard decision for me to leave. It was like a dream job working with some of those brilliant faculty. And I was sitting in the Dean of Engineering's office telling him, and I was crying. And he said, well, why are you crying? Are you sure you want to make this decision? And I said, well, I think I want to make, yes. But he's like, well, where do you want to be in 5 years? And I said, well, all I know is that I want to be doing something that I can't imagine now. And so I don't know where I want to be, but it needs to be something that I can't imagine now.
That's a really cool answer.
So
that's awesome.
He's like, all right, we'll go. I'm not going to change your mind.
That's awesome.
Well, you know why
I
was, and you know why I cried? It was like, I felt so supported at that time too. The fact that he was so interested in my welfare. And so he was, you know, I would say a mentor in a way too, you know, and supporter. So I think that it's surrounding you, yourself with people that are really first and foremost care about you and your success and fulfillment is really important.
Totally. I mean, what I really like about that answer a lot is that I feel like you're giving everyone permission to take a leap in their life of uncertainty.
Well, yeah. And I think it was a really challenging decision to make to first of all, not only leave a dream job, but then to travel cross country. And I loved Boston. I was a president of the New England Mountain Bike Association, like really, you know, invested in that community, knew all the venture capitalists and the whole. It was really hard to make that decision. But I think in the end, it was something I didn't know what was better. I kept literally in our hallway, we had all these like yellow stickies. Yes, no. What are the pros and cons?
Right.
Try to do it with logic. And in the end, I didn't know what was going to be better, but I knew it was going to be new. And new always trumps the old, right? And so that's one of my sayings is, all things being equal, choose the path of greatest adventure.
All things being equal, choose the path of the greatest adventure. I have to ask.
Yeah?
Was it the right decision?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and
I was a little bit afraid to ask. I was like, oh no.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, the truth is that you should never look back, right? I mean, you can't. And so that leads to this other feeling. And this is when I actually, so choosing the path of greatest adventure is not as hard for me. But what is hard for me and a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, is taking that first step, right? So I think that a lot of times we get stuck with, oh, well, I don't know if I should go in this direction because I don't know if that's going to get to the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that you get so fixated on the end goal and trying to get there that, in fact, instead you need to take that first step and then reevaluate. And so it doesn't matter if step one takes you to step two. You're going to make something out of step one.
100%. Who's a woman in tech that really inspires you?
Oh, wow. I hate these questions.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Wrote them myself.
This question is so hard. It's like...
Because Z doesn't like picking. She doesn't like picking favorites. She feels bad. She wants to pick everybody in the world. You can get away. You don't have to answer this question.
No, I don't like answering the question. I'm sorry.
You're allowed. What's next for you, Z?
So what's next? I think it's primarily figuring out how to grow Make It in LA and also the Art of Manufacturing podcast in a way that really can support as many people and really grow the ecosystem. So I have a really ambitious vision for people to appreciate manufacturing as being sexy and to make sure that manufacturing is as influential and sexy as tech and Hollywood. So that's a big, big goal.
You know how it starts, right? You got to make a T-shirt.
Step at a time, a T-shirt.
I'll wear it. Manufacturing is sexy.
I'll make that T-shirt tomorrow. It'll be ready by the time this posts.
I can't let you get off of the Women in Tech podcast without you talking about Defy Ventures.
Okay. Well, Defy Ventures is a nonprofit that helps incarcerated people to learn skills, business skills, and entrepreneurial skills in the hope that if and when they are released, they can actually make a business and a life for themselves.
So to wrap it up, Z.
Yes.
The most important questions of the night.
Oh, gosh.
Just kidding. Z, what's your favorite book?
Oh, one of my favorite books is Endurance, about Shackleton's adventure. And that's actually by Alfred Lansing. There's many books about Shackleton. This one in particular was written in the 50s, the only one that was written kind of like a novel after he had interviewed actual survivors of this crazy tale where Shackleton had this team that overwintered in the South, in Antarctica, and they all survived. And it actually only makes the story even better, the fact that you know that they all survive.
Z, next question. These are the ones that Matt's like, you sound like a robot. Matt, I'm trying so hard for you over here. Next question is, what podcast, aside from The Art of Manufacturing, mm-hmm. of course, what podcast or video series would you say is like you must listen to or watch?
Well, it really depends on what you're interested in. But I do have to say that Pat Flynn's, he has a smart, oh, was it?
Passive
Income, yeah. Podcast, and also his Ask Pat series, it's daily, is super informative when it comes to trying to learn how to do all sorts of online marketing, which I never actually had any interest in online marketing at all until I actually had some interesting content that I thought was really mm-hmm. interesting to folks.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes. That's the first one that jumps to mind. There's, man, it's a hard question.
What resource do you recommend to people who want to get involved in the tech space?
It really depends on where you're located. I don't know.
Here.
My head. This is it for LA?
No, but let's just go for LA.
Yeah. Does it have to be online?
You know what? I'm going to answer it for her because she was telling me earlier that she has a great resource on makeitinla.org. It's makeitinla.org/resources.
Yeah.
And she has all the manufacturing hardware. What are all the resources listed on there?
Yeah, a bunch of startups, startup ecosystem sort of accelerators and other programs that support the manufacturing ecosystem. And
in Los Angeles.
Yeah. And we're continuing to grow that. We're also going to be, we have a makerspace map and all sorts of other things that over time we're growing incentives for manufacturing companies as well.
And the last question, what is your hobby?
One hobby? I mean, I love anything once. probably the thing I love the most is backcountry skiing.
Dope.
Yeah.
Who knew?
But I mean, anything, mountain biking, skydiving, scuba diving, all that surfing, rock climbing,
awesome.
Whatever. But never have enough time for any of it. But I'd say my favorite thing is backcountry skiing.
That's wicked. How can people, that speaks to the risk taker in you. How can people stay in touch with you?
Yeah, so, well, check it out on makeitinla.org/z. And that's you can actually find my Twitter handle and my Instagram and you'll also find from that website the Art of Manufacturing. You can go to Facebook also and join our Art of Manufacturing group as well.
And all the socials. Z, thank you so much for being on the Women in Tech podcast. You're awesome.
Thank you. Listen to the Art of Manufacturing.
For sure. You guys definitely listen to the Art of Manufacturing. If you want to connect with more incredible women in tech, go to womenintechvip.com. That will take you straight to the Facebook group, womenintechvip.com. I will see you guys, hear you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.